Welcome to the podcast series of Dave Gilpin. Dave could actually say anything he likes about himself at this point because he wrote the spiel. He's chosen, however, to make it entirely factual. Born in Kazakhstan and raised by a herd of wildebeest, Dave took a BA flight to the UK to pioneer the multi-congregational Hope City Church. To find out more, visit hopecitychurch.tv or davegilpin.com. Enjoy the ministry.
There's been a lot required of me in 30 years, and I was standing there this morning thinking, what was the main thing that's been required of my life? And the main thing that's been required of my life over the last 30 years is this: the ability to see into the invisible. The ability to be a person that lives beyond what I can see with my eye. The ability as a person to be able to see what others can't see when everything is screaming at me to believe opposite. I think that's the biggest thing that I've had to do as a woman of God and as a leader over the last 30 years of ministry since I was 19 years old. I've had to be a woman that can see into the unseen. And before I even start preaching this morning, I want to encourage you as a church that if we want to become the people that we believe we want to be and the church that we want to be in the building that we want to be in, to go the places that we want to be, I encourage you that we need to more and more be the people that see the unseen, that get out of bed in the morning and place your eye upon the invisible. And you say, how do I do that, Jenny? How can you see the invisible? Well, the Word of God talks about the fact that faith is the insurance of what we cannot see. Faith is our ability to see something in our spirit that nobody else can see in the natural. Hebrews 11 talks about an army of different people. Noah that built an ark, and everybody thought he was absolutely crackers. But he saw in his spirit what God was going to do. And I want to encourage us that we need to become that people that don't live stuck in the treacle of the everyday. Do you know it's time again as a church to lift our eyes and see, come on church, that our God is capable of the impossible, of doing that with what we cannot see. And we look around us, don't we, around the world at the moment and see all that's going on and think, how on earth? But my God has never moved off the throne. He reigns and he rules. He rules over this nation of Great Britain. He sits enthroned today and he has a plan. He has a plan. He has a plan to sweep thousands and thousands of people into the kingdom of God. He has a plan. And I want to encourage you today. I want you to come and live in my brain for a minute. It's a lot safer than Pastor Dave's brain. Come and live with me in the moment that I'm living constantly this unseen script. I'm constantly living in a place of dissatisfaction. Holy dissatisfaction. That there is so much more that I want to see. And I lie in bed at night and I'm living this unseen world. Some would call it crazy. Some would call it faith. I'm living in an unseen world. And the Bible talks about Hebrews 11. I've just been lavishing, sitting there drinking up Hebrews 11 again. These heroes of faith that lived these lives, that lived lives on behalf of other people. I've been reading about these amazing men and women of faith that lived on the edge and at the grand old age of 48 and over a half. God speaking to me again about not being a person that settles. No hush puppies for me. No cozy in front of the fire with a hot cocoa. That's not my life. God's called me to be a woman that lives on the edge. God's called me to be a woman that lives teetering. That lives in that odd space between reality and the invisible. And the Bible talks about it in Hebrews 11, about a people that were like foreigners living in tents. And I would suggest that tents are a mode of accommodation that is not completely satisfactory. They tend to collapse. They're cold. The toilet is 300 meters away. The showers are miserable. I'm not called to live in tents, but there's something within me that says that I am. Now, I'm not saying that Dave's going to move us out into the field at the back and sleep amongst the horse poo. That's not happening. But God's calling me again in my spirit to be a woman that lives on the edge. Let me read to you from Hebrews. It says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give to him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents. I would suggest to you today, Hope City Church, that God is calling us again to be a people that aren't mesmerized by permanence. To be a people that aren't hypnotized by the status quo, by the safe, the secure. God wants to take us to a place, and even First Fruits next Sunday for many of us is God taking us to that place where you think, well, if I'm giving a week's wage in, how the heck? But you know what? I've watched God do how the heck so many times over the last 30 years that he just comes and he meets us. It's a call to a life of faith that gives up sensible and security to watch the invisible invade the visible. It's about a people who know their residence is of heaven. That this life is an opportunity to bring heaven to earth. Nothing more, nothing less. This life is your opportunity to bring heaven to earth. It's about people who see an outcome. It's about a people who are looking for an outcome. It's not about a people that are just sitting there from week to week. It's about a people, come on church, that are looking, that are looking, that are looking, that are looking. That are looking, are looking for an outcome, are looking to see God do something. Hebrews 11, verse 12. And so a whole nation came from the one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there's no way to count them. Do you know, nothing delights me more than going on Instagram and seeing pictures of the generation's kids in this house do worship sets. Yeah. It's wonderful. You're on Instagram and they're like, they don't know that. Then they come out with a couple of words. My God is everything, everything, everything. And they do the moves. And you know, nothing delights me more. Do you know why? That's the generation after the generation. It's the generation after the generation. Grandma Jenny in 20 years will be watching the generation after the generation of the generation. And I live lying in bed, seeing that outcome in my spirit. And we need to be lying there dreaming. Dream, come on, church. It's time to dream again. It's time to see the God of the impossible. I remember when we came to the UK 23 years ago, we saw you. Some of you weren't even born. But we saw you. We saw you. We saw you on those 2 days in Hong Kong between one job and the other when we had no responsibility. Do you know there were 2 days 23 years ago where Dave and I didn't hold any responsibility? They were an amazing couple of days. Viv, he's laughing too loud. God spoke to me about you at the start of the service. And you've got to understand, Viv is like family. He's like our son. And so I don't often bring words for family, but I have a word. Now, Viv is Irish. We all know Viv talks too much. And he has been known to talk in labour at the wrong time, as Nicole, yes. But God spoke to me about the Irish community. It was the weirdest thing. This is dangerous, this prophecy, because we're going to have like gags at the door because Irish people just talk. But I could see you leading an Irish community in this church. Like, quite a significant Irish community is going to come into this place. And we take the mick out of you because you're Irish. And you know, you got to do it. It's part of being Australian, the need to take the mick out of people. But I could see them, just an Irish community coming into this church. And you leading them so beautifully. And you teaching them a new culture. Kingdom culture. And I could just see row after row after row of Irish people all in green on St. Patrick's Day. Now, I didn't see that. I made that up. But I just want you to be encouraged in your heart that your life is not just about the detail. Because a lot of your life has been about the detail. Viv does an awful lot behind the scenes around here with budgets and City Heart stuff and moving chairs and making sure people don't fall over and everything. But your life's not just about the detail. It's about people. And God's got precious people he's going to bring into the kingdom. And a number of them are going to bring up their Catholicism to you. And you're going to breeze over it in your beautiful Irish way. You're just going to breeze over it. And it's not going to be an offense to them at all. And Graham behind you is also Irish. I didn't realize Mr. Irish 2. Is Rick Lockhart here, Mr. Irish 3? He's in kids. Oh, my goodness, there's three already. Okay, let's keep preaching. We'll keep going. Was that good, church? Give Viv a hand. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you a story, church. Church. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't. Every accent goes back to sounding Australian. When I was a child, I was in the Brownies in Australia. Right, so Girl Guides type thing, right? And I was the sixer of the Yunyaran tribe, which is an Aboriginal word for I don't know what. But basically, I was boss girl of the Yunyaran tribe. It's funny what gets thrown into you, isn't it? I promised to do my best, to do my duty to God, to serve the Queen and help other people and keep the Brownie Guide law. It's still there, deep in my spirit. Anyway, they took us camping. And I remember, like, it was monsoon season in Australia, which is January, February. And so we were in these tents, and then we dug trenches around. It was back in the day when they didn't have tents that met at the bottom. You put a ground sheet down. That's how old I am. Put a ground sheet down, then you put the tent up, you know, and you put all the poles out and the guide ropes and everything. And then we went round the side and we dug trenches so the water wouldn't come in. Oh, did it not come in. So we were at this awful, awful camp. We were being given porridge that tasted like solidified glue. We were building trenches so as the water didn't come in, and it did, and our sleeping bags were just sodden. I mean, you know, what is enjoyable about that, please? Nothing. So we were just got comfortable in our sodden tents full of porridge. And then a big wind came through and completely knocked the tent flat. These are my memories. This is why nobody don't even think to take me camping, unless it's glamping. I'm not going. And so they had this experience. And it's like sometimes we feel like this in our Christian lives. You think, what the heck? God, you got me here on this life adventure called faith. And everything seems to be railroading all at once to completely make my existence impossible. What game are you playing? Anybody with me? So God gets you out on this incredible journey of faith. You're in the tent, you're living on the edge, and then even the tent collapses. And you go to God and you say, God, what on earth are you doing with my life? Do you know what? God is trying to take you somewhere. He's trying to stop you being mesmerized by permanence, hypnotized by circumstance. He's trying to get you back on the cutting edge of faith. Do you know, I've had a recent moment. It reminded me of that scripture, and I won't read it because I really want to get moving this morning. Of that time when Jesus was lounging in the boat. You know, when the disciples cried out and says, Jesus, you're here, and you know, what are you doing asleep? Like, you're here with us, Jesus. Hello? Have you ever been in that situation you said to God, God, I'm doing your will. I'm out here camping, living on the edge like a foreigner living in tents. and you are lounging in my life right now. No, is that only me that said that to God? You're lounging in my life. So I had this moment a couple of weeks ago, and we've had a challenging year. My mum died, family stuff. Just so much has gone on. Just got a letter in the post that day, this is a couple of weeks ago, that we're being sued for £385,000 that we don't owe. Oh, thank happy day, oh happy day. And then that afternoon I go to the hospital and I'm there, I'm getting skin cancers cut out of my back and my ankle, and they got infected. And, oh, I'm going, Jesus, feel free to lounge, Jesus, feel free. Do you ever get to that moment when you feel like, Jesus, is there anything possibly else you could add to this concoction here? Do you ever feel like that? So I was saying to the Holy Spirit, you are lounging. I don't want you to lounge. And this is what God said to me. I'm teaching you to stay in faith, believing while everyone else is flailing around. I'm teaching you to remain confident in the storm and supreme in your rest. I'm teaching you to be always believing, always confident that the future is greater than the moment. Come on, church. I'm teaching you that there is an invincible summer within you, a faith that propels you forward through thick and thin, a trust, a hope, and an expectation that can only be forged in the furnace of fear. God is making you in your circumstance right now. God is training you as a people and as a church to be a people of faith. That stand and having done all, stand. That don't move. That don't flail around because the railroad has come to town. But stand firm and say, I'm not moving from the unseen script that I see in my heart. I'm sorry, enemy. I am not moving. I'm standing right here. Hebrews 1 verse 7 says, he kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. Your future greatness has tremendous thirst. Tremendous thirst for your current faith. Your future has a thirst for faith. Your future has a thirst for you to be living in a zone that you're seeing what God has for you and for this house down the line. What you see today here did not exist, except it existed in the heart of God and in Dave and my heart when I was 24 years old in Brisbane, Australia. And before that, it existed in the heart of Maggie here, who was praying 30 years ago for a church like this to exist in Sheffield. It existed in Maggie's heart before it even existed in mine. What exists in your heart that two generations from now they will look back and say, I'm standing here because someone chose to stand in faith. Someone chose it. The miracles of the future demand you to be seeing stuff in your spirit that cannot be seen now with the natural eye. What does Hebrews 11 say? Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It doesn't make sense, does it? But that's faith. I see faith as an unseen script, as a screenplay that's going on in our spirit that we can't see with our natural eye. And I lie in bed at night watching a screenplay that no one else can see. What's the screenplay that I'm watching? I'm watching the unwritten screenplay of my family. I'm watching the unseen screenplay of the church. I'm watching an unseen screenplay of an unprecedented move of God. I'm watching an unseen screenplay of miraculous healing. I'm watching an unseen screenplay of this amazing building in Sheffield, this purpose-built facility. I'm watching an unseen screenplay of people queuing to get into church because they're so hungry for God. I'm watching an unseen screenplay of many people leave coming out of this place being influential in politics, in all the whole community across the nation. I'm watching an unseen screenplay of a church in Ghana that is so magnificent that all the religion drops and people are getting an actual reality of a touch from God. I'm seeing an unseen screenplay of a church in Germany, a German church. That's just amazing. We have Svenja here from Germany doing academy. Sven, yeah, that's right. I see an unseen screenplay. I want to challenge you, church, this morning. What are you watching? Are you watching the invisible? You need to be watching the invisible. You need to wake up in the morning and begin in your spirit in faith to be seeing what God has, to be dreaming. Do you know what Dave and I saw before we left Australia? We still haven't seen, but it's still in my heart, and I can see it. Do you know we started in Sheffield 23 years ago because, for a number of reasons, but one, because the city was full of incredible universities. We started because we thought young leaders are going to come out of those universities. And a number of our pastors right across all of our locations were students that came in to Sheffield universities. We dream about a move of God amongst the students, that they wouldn't be going out every Friday night getting blotto out of their heads on the street, but they're in the house of God worshiping the Lord. Come on. I dream about a generation of young people. Even at my ripe old age, I dream about a generation of young people that are so passionate about God, it moves every other passion aside and they just want to pursue Him. I dream about that. What's the screenplay that's going on in your spirit? What are you watching today? You've got to choose to believe. And faith today takes the substance of the future in its hands. It's the eye that sees the invisible and not the current reality. That reality tries to have a voice. Come on, church, it tries to speak, but I'm challenging you to deny it today in Jesus' name and to see instead in your spirit what God sees. He sees something so magnificent it would blow your mind if you could catch a glimpse of it. If you could lie there on your bed for a moment and say, God, connect me with the invisible realm again. God, won't you come again into my life and give me an ability in my spirit to see the invisible? God, would you open my eyes again, oh God, that I would see you, the God of the impossible, that I would know again, oh God, that you've got great and mighty things for my life. Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you, and I appointed you, and I called you, and I destined you. I was in Ghana last weekend, preaching, and I stood there and I thought, my word, who God knew the day I was born, the day I was in that single mother's home and no one wanted me. God knew that 48 years later I'll be preaching in Ghana, in Accra in Ghana. What are the amazing things on God's heart? He knew. He knows your end from your beginning. He's got such incredible things planned for your life, but he just wants you to begin to get yourself back away from reality and begin to see again with the eye of the invisible. We're gonna really worship God in a moment, but I just want to prophesy first over a couple of people. Is that good? And then we're going to respond to God. For many of us, we need to make a renewed decision today that we're going to begin to write an unseen screenplay. We're going to begin to be a people that dream again. Come on, church. We're going to begin to be a people that begin to look at the invisible like it's a reality. And we're going to draw it close. Do you know what faith does? Faith draws the future into the present. Your faith draws what God's got out there into the now. And we need as a people to commit again to write a screenplay of faith over the areas of our lives, over this house. And if you want to commit again to doing that this morning, we're going to sing, we're going to line this altar, and we're going to touch God together, that we're going to bring the future into the present. Are you ready, church, to respond? Come as we sing.